Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voices of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to this people. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down before your holy temple and praise your name, because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the mighty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Our second reading is from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, siblings, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For my grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah, the gospel of the Lord. Each year, students completing their catechism instruction have an opportunity to write a faith statement. In so many ways, youth demonstrate a wide variety of responses to the question, who is God for you? Of course, the pastor has hopes about their answers. Will youth speak of God revealed in Scripture as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or will they use functional language, functional descriptions of the Holy Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier? Will they emphasize one person of the Holy Trinity, avoiding the others? Will they speak of God in generic terms that make no meaningful claims about God or God's role in their lives? The same could be asked of each one who gathers for worship. Who is God for you? Richard Ward, an emeritus professor of preaching at Phillips Theological Seminary in Tulsa, writes that many Christians demonstrate reluctance in talking about Jesus. Today, Jesus enters a city built by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus, Caesar the Great. And then this city was augmented by his son, Caesar Philippi, Philip. Philip decided to add his name to Caesar's for his contributions in building up the city. And in this city, in Caesarea Philippi, is a large temple. This temple is built in such a way as to be clear about whose this city is. So Jesus has entered into a city built and dedicated to both the empire and to the gods of the Greco-Roman world. Paying attention to this reality raises the stakes for the discussion that Jesus leads with his disciples. Remember also that early Christians, the first audiences for this gospel, tended to meet in small secret communities. They tended to function underground, not out in the open. More public witness held for them substantial risk for self, for family, and for church. Yet, in the shadow of Roman temple, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The responses reference those great witnesses and prophets of the tradition. John the Baptist, Elijah in particular, points toward an expectation that he would return before the Messiah appears. This is a greatest hits of great expectations. But Jesus makes the question more pointed. But who do you say that I am? This question represents the cornerstone for all Christians. Who do you say that Jesus is? And from this story, the corollary asks, where will you testify to what you believe? In private space or in public space? Simon Peter announces that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yikes. Peter makes this announcement in the shadow of the Roman temple in the city named for the emperor, a bastion of the empire. Simon Peter's witness speaks both to religious and political reality. Anticipation of the Messiah flows throughout the scriptures and hope of the Jewish community. This rich reference speaks to all the hope for restoration and life. Peter's words, just in announcing Jesus, the Messiah, bear witness to huge implications. That would be enough. But then Peter adds that bit about the Son of the living God. You see, the Caesar, by his office, received acclamation in the empire as a Son of God. To announce Jesus the Son of the living God places Jesus in the stead of the emperor. This witness bears great risk and immense implications for Jesus, for the disciples, for the whole community who coalesces around Jesus. And for that first audience, the implications are palpable. Still today, Jesus asks, "But you, who do you say that I am?" For Peter and the assembly of believers who follow, Jesus announces then, based on Peter's response, great authority. By way of explanation, in the rabbinic tradition of the first century, the religious leaders held a responsibility to assess whether particular scripture applied to a circumstance or not. Such decisions guided application of scripture in the particulars of life. They had substantial effect on people living their daily lives. When scripture applies, it is bound. When the scripture is determined not to apply, it is loosed. Jesus gives Peter and the church that follows authority to bind and to loose, following that rabbinic tradition and the particular in traditions held sacred by the Pharisees. Further, Jesus promises that what Peter and the later the church binds on earth or looses on earth, God will honor. This represents huge authority and responsibility. Remember the question religious leaders raised of Jesus? By what authority are you teaching and doing these things? For many, given the location and the context of this conversation, given the implication of declaring Jesus Messiah and Son of the living God, many faithful people today wrestle with then Jesus instructing the disciples not to tell anyone he is the Messiah. Perhaps, as other gospels suggest, this instruction holds until his death and resurrection. One might guess that letting the information get out too early might interfere with his ministry. Consider that Jewish people might bring all kinds of expectation about who and what the Messiah would do. Many of those expectations miss the mark. Consider religious leadership who might resist and feel the need to test and to challenge Jesus' identity, whether out of a desire to faithfully test the prophet or faithfully, well, out of jealousy. Consider the political leadership who might find Jesus a threat on so many levels. Any and all might represent reason to instruct secrecy until a different time. The church today, the faithful today, live in the shadow of different kinds of social, political, and religious temples that too easily invite idolatry. At the same time, the faithful do not live in first century Roman Empire ruled by brute force and state-sponsored terrorism like crucifixion. Though one could argue that populations within the United States still live under such oppressive forces. Consider James Cones's The Cross and the Lynching Tree, which this congregation read 3 years ago, and the many ways that white nationalism and racism still effect terror on black and brown people. And yet the church today has a charge, a call to pursue righteousness, seek justice, indeed, work for peace in all the earth. The church has a call to serve all people following the example of Jesus Christ. The church has a call to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah and the living Son of the living God, wherever we are. The church has a call to study Scripture, to hear God's Word, and to share it freely. The church has a call to gather where the Word is proclaimed and the sacred meal is shared for sustenance. The church goes forth, living into the good news and ensuring all people benefit from God's grace today and always. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.